Just leave your darling on a good year's bonnet too. Lean back and stay a while on a good year's bonnet too.
Hi, this is Bill Mazur from Monitor 67, where weekend worlds are different. Looking ahead, Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet will tell us about the fun and problems of working together, a sample of which you're going to hear right now, their new Summer Summer Wind.
If you waited till now to buy your new Oldsmobile, you're pretty smart. Your Olds dealer's year-end sale is going strong, and prices will never be lower. Whatever you fancy, front-wheel drive Toronado, elegant 98, value-packed Delmont 88, youthful Cutlass, thrifty F85, you can buy now at whopping big year-end savings. It's your best opportunity to get the extra value of an Olds at an extra low price. See your Olds dealer now.
Before they were Mr. and Mrs., Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet made beautiful music individually. Now they're making beautiful music together. And if they're late for dinner, they don't need an excuse. For Monitor, Jack Eigen talked with Steve and Edie about their joint venture as performers, partners, and parents.
I wonder, does anybody ever call you Edie Lawrence, by the way?
Yeah, at my children's school. They don't call me Edie Lawrence. They more or less call me David's mommy.
Uh-huh.
Michael's mother.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they call me Edie Adams. Uh-huh. And sometimes Mrs. Lawrence. Very rarely is it Edie Gourmet.
Well, Edie...
I've completely lost my identity. And upsets me very much.
You haven't lost your identity, actually. Do you work...
When they call me Mrs. Lawrence, that kind of...
That's right.
No, nobody ever calls you Mrs. Lawrence. Miss. But do you work strictly as a team now?
We have a very unusual thing going for us, and that is we have three careers in our family. There's one that we have individually, and we were individual artists before we met professionally and personally. So we've maintained that, not only in clubs, but on records as well. And then there's the career that we have together. So there's three careers in our family, and we maintain each one of them.
But now, right now, presently...
We are concentrating a little more on the one that we have together because,
for example,
we're going into a Broadway show together this fall.
Mm-hmm.
It got to be a terrible panic, as you can imagine, working separately and raising two children and trying to have some sort of normal existence outside of your show business life, because, you know, many people say, show business is my life. Well, that's not our life. That's just our business, you know, and you have to have some kind of a life other than that. And it really wasn't working out too well at the opposite ends of the country and sometimes at opposite ends of the world. And we couldn't afford the phone bills. And so as much as we possibly can now, if we work separately, one of us will still go with the other one. So it's really better. I can't stand to stay home, and neither can he, so we might as well work together, and we both show up.
You know, I imagine, Steve or Edie may answer, I imagine that it must be easier to work with a partner than
oh,
without.
Oh, boy,
right?
Is it?
Much easier, especially in a cafe, because usually when you work by yourself, you have to recreate a situation, and it's difficult when you're all alone. But with the type of act that Edie and I do, it's always entertaining for us, too, because I never know what she's going to say. She can come in and change a whole line of thought. So the only thing, actually, that is rehearsed is basically the music.
The music, yeah.
And outside of that, there are a couple of pretty pat things that we have. But beyond that, it just goes wherever it goes.
It's very different almost every night. And we enjoy that because it keeps
it's entertaining for us, too. You know.
For us, and we kind of have a very good time.
You know, she'll talk to me and I'll listen like an audience. You know.
Which
and,
is the way you should if you want to keep things
away. And of course
away.
We get a
yeah,
lot...
But when I get a check at the end of the show, it's a little ridiculous.
But actually, you know, we love it. We have a lot more laughs. I mean, you know, when you work alone and you try and get laughs outside of, you know, singing, which is really our business, but we like humor, as you know. And it's hard sometimes. You feel like you're a comic in one, you know, and you're doing a monologue out there. And it's not the same as working with somebody else when you can just bounce off. You don't have to stick to a set pattern. And it works out very well. We love it. It's fun for us, and we hope it's fun, you know, for the audience.
It is. You're both doing very well, not only nightclub-wise, but television. And you've made a lot of friends, people like you, Edie Gourmet, and they like you, Steve Lawrence. I mean, there are certain performers that are considered what you call controversial performers, but you people have lots of fans, and I've never heard anybody say that either one of you are in bad taste, which is the best compliment you can get.
Agreed. Two of the nicest people in show business. They're secret. They make the difficult sound and look so easy.
Taste that beats the others go. Pepsi pours it up.
Andy Russell coming up shortly right here on the Monitor Beacon.
The following announcement is brought to you by the Circle Lines.
Helicopter number 43, Frank Flynn reporting from 2,000 feet. Right now I'm over West 43rd Street in the Hudson, right over the new Circle Line Pier. Hey, how's that for convenience? The cars are driving right up on the pier, the people are getting out, going aboard the Circle Line yacht for a three-hour cruise around Manhattan. You know why they call the Circle Line the Big C? Because it's the best way to really see New York in all its thrilling bigness. Circle Line yachts leave every half hour from 9:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day from the foot of West 43rd Street. Actually, folks, they tell me that you get more exciting views of New York from Circle Line yachts than I do from this helicopter. My next day off, I think I'll find out for myself. For $2.75, how can I go wrong? Kids go for $1.25, so bring the family. Drive down. Plenty of parking space right on the pier.
The Conversation Station, WNBC, New York.
This is your NBC Monitor. This is your NBC Monitor. This is your station, the pulse of the nation. It's NBC.
This is Bill Mazur for your Summertime Monitor. We note that the Swedish Housewives Association has voted against admitting male members. That's really interesting. Here's Andy Russell.
Each day it starts anew. That yearning, burning need for you, I say. you're on my mind. When I awake, I wake to find I'm still not through missing you.
Some of the things you can do by long distance. You can chat about little things and seriously discuss important things. You can talk about old times, tell a father he's the greatest, or a mother that you're eating proper meals. You can keep the family feeling going. That's why the Bell system says that long distance is the next best thing to being there.
What? Yes, Dad, I love you too.
Gana King on monitor. I have loved me a man.
I have loved me a man like my mama did. I have loved me a man. Tall and tender, his hand like my daddy's was. The lips that kissed away.
You know, for every hour of fighting in Vietnam, there are many hours of just hard walking and looking for the hard-to-find enemy. Lieutenant Michael Skirchak of Miami, Florida, platoon leader of the 4th Infantry Division, is only 20 years old, but already a seasoned combat veteran. NBC's Jack Russell caught up with a lieutenant and his platoon in the South Vietnam Central Highlands and asked him about fighting and patrolling.
Lieutenant, do you have any general impressions about the work you're doing out here, the patrol work in the Idrang Valley?
Well, out here in the Idrang Valley, we're more or less just pacifying the area. This is believed to be a main infiltration route during the monsoon season because it's hard walking around the mountains. But as I say, we're just pacifying it. We run patrols, we go out and I spread the men out and they sit there and listen and observe and see if anybody's come along. And so far, we haven't run into anything.
What kind of men do you have in your platoon? Are they new men? Are they veterans of Vietnam? Or the replacements from other divisions? Just exactly what kind of men do you have?
Well, in my platoon, I've got men that have everywhere from 150 hours to 355 days. I've got them from the 9th Division. They're real good men. They've got combat experience, but it's not the kind of combat you find up here. They're used to fighting VC. We fight in VA. I've got men that have been in the company 6 months that are used to fighting in VA, and I've got brand new men, as I say, that they've never seen an enemy. They don't know what he looks like. They wouldn't know one if he come up and bit him in the face, but I'm sure when they find him, they'll know he's an enemy.
What kind of a man makes the best infantryman?
The best infantryman, it's a man, all I can say is he's got his head on his shoulders. He's got to know how to survive. He's got to know how to take care of himself. He's got to know how to take care of his buddy, because around here, it's a big important thing, watching out for your buddy's back as well as your front.
Lieutenant, what was the worst experience you've had so far in Vietnam?
Well, the worst experience I've had was on along the Cambodian border. It was being mortared. They fired a B-40 rocket at us. A Claymore was fired at them, and they started mortaring us all at the same time. And the actual worst experience was hearing the ploop, ploop, ploop of the mortar tubes, knowing they were coming at you. Sitting in the bunkers, you build fortified bunkers, and you're fairly safe from 82 rounds. But when they're hitting around you, your knees and everything is going a mile a minute shaking. Any man that says he isn't scared is a fool.
When your men come in from patrol to this base camp, what do they do?
Well, this is a place for them to relax, supposedly, but they always have something. They're going to make a range. We always get rid of our old ammunition, our old hand grenades, our old M79 explosive rounds, and we get brand new stuff. We get clean clothes, and that's something you don't do out on a patrol. You wear the same old clothes. The men get a chance to wash. They get a chance to catch up on all their letters. They get their packages. This is more or less a relaxation area for the men.
Do you think they're anxious to go out on patrol again after spending a week here?
Well, I know every one of my men are anxious to get back out in the field. After too much time on their hands, they start thinking about too much and to get homesick. I know every one of them's looking forward to going back out.
Time passes a little quicker out there.
Oh, this is definitely true. Time passes much faster. You don't realize the days. You don't count the days. All you remember is every seventh day you get your big malaria pill.
Moments in the life of a young combat officer in South Vietnam whose platoon is spending the day a little differently than we are. Music helps lighten the load for our GIs overseas and at home. Let's have some. Thank you. Talk is the title of that Burt Camford arrangement. And a northeastern Pennsylvania monitor music and conversation is heard over WSCR Scranton, serving more people more ways more often. I'm Bill Mazur. We'll be back shortly.
Monitor brightens your weekend world on NBC Radio.
660 is where it's happening when Murray the K guests on the Mean Benzel Show Monday at noon on WNBC, New York.
Hello again, this is Bill Mazur, your host for the Weekend World News and Information Monitor 67. A look into a new exhibition covering three centuries of American history coming up. But for openers, let's listen to the new tune, It Must Be Him. Vicki Carr sings it.
I tell myself, what's done is done. I tell myself, don't be a fool. Play the field, have a lot of fun. It's easy when you play it. I tell myself, don't be a chump. Who cares? Let him stay away. That's when the phone rings and I jump. And as I grab the phone, I pray. My heart on the shelf again. He'll never hurt me anymore. I'm not a puppet on a string. I'll find somebody else someday. That's when the phone rings. And once again, I start to pray.
I'm Casey Stengel, and I'm here to explain about American Motors. Now, these here fellas sell three kinds of cars, one of which has recently gotten a lot of news, being too big to be called a compact, but it ain't a full-size car, which most people call popular price cars. Now they build a popular price car, too, which is called the Ambassador, and which has what they call a red carpet ride, which is very smooth. So now that you know all about American Motors, you should go down and see the fella who is the American Motors Rambler dealer near you.
Well, if that isn't entirely clear, your American Motors Rambler dealer will be glad to explain it all to you, especially now, during his hot tag sale. See him today.
How about Casey Stengel? Isn't that incredible? He sounds great, too. My friends, in case you think there's been only one flip generation in America, this report from NBC's Bryson Rash will shed new light on the subject. This interesting bit of information, along with other facts of our American heritage, are contained in an important new exhibition at the Smithsonian in Washington. It's called The Growth of the United States, Newsman Rash talked with the project's curator, Peter C. Welsh.
Mr. Welsh, what's the purpose of this exhibition?
The purpose of the whole project is to present a balanced view of American civilization from the time of first settlement through really 1945 and perhaps beyond.
We're standing here in the first section, which covers the period of American history from 1640 to 1750. Tell us about this part of it.
Right. This is the period, of course, when American settlement was no longer in doubt. There were enough people here to make it a go. And there were certain things that were important in this period, which we're trying to emphasize here. One is the idea of religion, which, whether you were living in New England or in Virginia, has played a strong part in the life of everyday people. The other thing we're trying to show is the beginning of an architectural tradition.
I notice you have a house built right here in the exhibition. Where did you get this house?
Well,
did you make it?
No, this house was in threat of demolition, and it came from Ipswich, Massachusetts.
You mean you carted it down here piece by piece?
We took it down piece by piece, and then put it back up piece by piece. And I think we've done an interesting thing here that hasn't been done too often before. Rather than showing a finished house with sides and furniture, what we're trying to do here is suggest how things were built, building technology.
Well, there's no siding on it. It's just open framework skeleton.
Right. We're trying to show what they call mortise and tenon architecture, the locking of large beams through joints and pins.
Now, over here in the background, on the other side of this particular exhibition, is a water wheel. Where did you get the water wheel?
Well, the water wheel, again, is representative of a section of the country, this time southeastern Pennsylvania. It came from Chester County. It was built there in about 1774 by a Quaker who was also a fine clockmaker. And our purpose here is to show how power was created and how it was transmitted.
Well, right here in this exhibition, I might add, is this water wheel. And there's water pouring off the top as a sluice gate, sort of. And it's also running on the other side a mill. Is that correct?
Right. We're showing how power is taken from a source and then how it was transmitted through chains of wooden gears to do a job. For instance, grind grain to make flour.
There is the house here, open, show construction. There is a water wheel. There is a grist mill. There are also cases full of things. And there's a case here with a recipe in it. Do you remember the recipe?
Well, the recipe is one for flip, which is a combination of small beer and rum and molasses, heated perhaps with a lagering iron. And the writer who gave the recipe didn't detail the quantities. So we suggest that if you copy this, you use considerable discretion.
Have you ever tried it?
No, I never have. I'm not sure that I would trust my discretion.
Well, Mr. Wells, the second section covers the period from 1750 to 1851. It's quite a change, isn't it?
That's right. And in this section, we do as we did in the first. We have the things of one century only, so that every place a person looks, he will see or she will see just the things of 1750 to 1851.
And by seeing the two sections, you can contrast to see progress.
You get this marvelous contrast between the wood press, for example, and the iron-bodied printing press.
Well, thank you very much. We've been talking with Mr. Peter C. Welsh, curator of the massive and important new exhibition at the Smithsonian Institution titled The Growth of the United States. This is Bryson Rash, NBC News, Washington, reporting for Monitor.
An American history lesson, the easy way and also a memorable way. Now this word about a current event.
Taste that beats the others go. Pepsi pours it on. Pepsi pours it on.
Put your thirst on ice with a cold Pepsi Cola. Pepsi has the taste created for the cold, a taste that comes alive in the cold in a big, bold, inviting way. Taste that beats the others cold. Pepsi pours it on.
Taste that beats the others cold. Pepsi pours it on.
Let's listen now to Julius La Rosa. Take the deepest emotion, love, and the favorite season, and it comes out Summer Love.
Now the April rain is gone. Time for turning to the sun. All that I've been waiting for. beach of fire glows, sand is sipping through my toes, all my senses are alive. Then a voice so very light mingles with the sounds at night, telling me that she's alive.
It's 13 minutes before the hour wherever you are in the USA, and the sounds of variety listening are coming to you on the Monitor Beacon.
That first cold glass of Schaefer beer, man, that's real pleasure. Flavor that's as bright and rewarding as a beer can be. But what makes Schaefer beer really different is the second glass and the third. Because Schaefer has flavor that never fades, never leaves you flat. You get all the pleasure of that first cold beer every beer through.
Schaefer is the one beer to have when you're having more than one.
A fun-filled triumph, that's what the New York Daily News called Guy Lombardo's Arabian Nights. The news went on to say that Arabian Nights is loaded with talent, dancing girls, lots of good songs. For a bargain package of fun and free dancing after the show to Guy Lombardo's Royal Canadians, take the entire family to see Arabian Nights playing nightly, including Sunday, at the beautiful Jones Beach Theater. For reservations, call 516-CA1-1000. That's 516-CA1-1000. The Conversation Station, WNBC, New York.
Bill Mazur for NBC's Monitor. Joe Garagiola will join us shortly, but meanwhile, back in the music world, Jamie and the J. Sylvia Singers present this happy version of Dementia. Going out of my head.
But you. And I think I'm going out of my head, 'cause I can't explain the tears that I shed over you, over you. I see you each morning, but you just walk past me. Don't even know that I exist.
Going out of my head, over you. Out of my head, over you. Out of my head, day and night, night and day.
a short but very important message for everybody. The Federal Bar Association and its Law Observance Program reminds us that freedom depends on the rule of law. Remember, the law protects you. Respect it. Uphold it. And here on Monitor is Joe Garagiola.
In recent years, the horse racing season seems to get longer at just about every racetrack in the country. In New York, for example, the season opens right after New Year's Day and closes just before Christmas. As somebody once said, to find the racing days at Aqueduct, you don't need a schedule, just a calendar. Actually, if you use a calendar, you can tear off the month of August, because that's when the horses, jockeys, trainers, and pari-mutuel machines move to Saratoga. And that move becomes effective tomorrow. To describe Saratoga's place in racing, or to describe anything in racing for that matter, the best advice is to see what the late Joe Palmer had to say about it. Although he passed away 15 years ago, what he had to say about Saratoga bears repeating. So here it goes. Saratoga, in our time, has become a symbol. It doesn't contribute as much to the state treasury because the handle is lower. It has a somewhat antiquated clubhouse from which you cannot see very well, unless you have a box or a friend who has one. It doesn't make any money for the stockholders. Even so, any time you want to know whether racing in New York can still consider itself a sport or whether it's a highly elaborate pinball machine, just look to see if Saratoga has dates. There's no objection here to people who try to make money. I tried myself without much success. But there should be, in racing or baseball or business, an occasional gesture which is not made only toward the cashier. And that's Joe Palmer on the subject of Saratoga. It was shortly before Mr. Palmer's death that the National Museum of Racing was opened in Saratoga. But the quarters then were temporary, and the present building wasn't open until 1955. It's the home of Racing's Hall of Fame. As the oldest operating racetrack in the United States, it figures that Saratoga has a rich tradition, but it also has had an exciting history. The great Man-O-War won 20 of the 21 races he entered. He won 5 of them at Saratoga, and he also suffered his only defeat at that track. That was 38 years ago in the Sanford Memorial Stakes when he was beaten by a horse called Upset. If there is one complaint that racetrack people have about Saratoga, it's the fact that it can get a little expensive. Some of the people in town rent their houses in August for what Mr. Palmer described as about half the purchase price. There's a story about two trainers on their way to the Saratoga track early one morning. And they passed a house where there was a dog sleeping on the sidewalk. In the back of the house, they both noticed a little doghouse. And one trainer asked the other why the dog didn't go back there to sleep. And the second trainer said, "That dog is pure Saratoga. He probably rented his house to an out-of-town dog for August." But the charm outweighs the disadvantages. And starting tomorrow, racing people will be using one of their favorite phrases. They're running at Saratoga. This is Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports. And now this from Kendall.
You're hearing the sound of power, the sound of the new breed of hot, high-performance engines. They're super in performance, but they need super lubrication. Get it with Kendall GT1 Racing Oil. Here's Kendall quality personified. It's refined from the choicest 100% Pennsylvania crude oil. It's reinforced with special additives to prevent deposits, scuffing, foaming, and excessive wear. If you're driving one of the sportier cars, Kendall GT1 Racing Oil will protect your engine whether you're on the road, in competition, or in city traffic. Ask your dealer today for Kendall GT1 Racing Oil. Listen to Joe Garagiola's colorful and informative sports features each weekend on Monitor, weekdays on NBC. And Sandy Koufax will be pitching for Monitor Sports later today.
Taste that beats the others cold. Pepsi pours it on.
In the open air, the brass ring. By the way, if you're driving high up in the open air in the mountains and your car is acting a little peculiar, your car isn't used to such altitudes if you're a valley resident, things should straighten out when you come out of the mountains again. Monitor News on the Hour is next. I'm Bill Mazur.
Key to the latest news now is on the air. Key tuned for sports and views now from everywhere.
You know, even though New York is one of the world's most exciting cities, there aren't many places where you can go dancing without spending a whole lot of money, with one exception: Roseland Dance City on 52nd Street just west of Broadway. At sophisticated Roseland Dance City, the world's most famous ballroom cafe, you can dance the night away to the music of two great bands, and today you can start your dancing at 3:30 in the afternoon until closing. Your entire cost for uncrowded dancing on the largest, most sensationally spacious dance floor you've ever seen is a mere $2. And prices in the glamorous terrace restaurant for delicious food and drink are surprisingly modest. So take your mate or date today to the world's most famous and famously air-conditioned ballroom cafe. For the ultimate in dancing enjoyment, that's Roseland Dance City on 52nd Street just west of Broadway. Roseland Dance City. The Radio City temperature is 81 degrees and it's cloudy, humidity 65%, the forecast partly sunny, clearing this evening. From Fenway Park in Boston, former Red Sox great Ted Williams make a long-distance hit as Bill Mazur's telephone guest Wednesday at 5 on WNBC New York. The time, 4 o'clock.